Hey, everybody, what's going on? Josh Wigler here with a very special holiday post-show recaps podcast for you. Santa Tony. We've got a great surprise here. It's the return of your man, AC Mazzaro, behind a podcast mic. Hi, Antonio.
Hello, Josh. You sounded like Master Shake from Aqua Teen Hunger Force there.
No, this sounds more like Master Shake.
I did not mean to.
What it sounds like when I do it. The shake.
Yeah.
I don't. We're both going to be talking.
This is not an Aqua Teen.
Okay, no, it's not.
Can you do Al Pacino as Meatwad? Meatwad is Al Pacino.
Yeah.
Antonio Mazzaro, the legend. The man.
Thank you for assigning me that status I do not deserve.
Oh, stop. The post-show recaps legend, if nothing else.
You always are looking for ways to find to podcast with the two of us.
Yes.
But I, in fact, suggested this, or you suggested it. It's been sort of nascent for a while. What are we doing here today?
Okay, so here's what's happening right now. So Antonio and I, as Antonio says, we've podcasted about a million things together. I would be very curious to know how many hours we have logged together on podcasts. Hundreds of hours for sure. Whether it was The Leftovers or Justified or Mr. Robot or most shows recapped.
Prestige TV.
The Strange Strigoi.
Not Prestige TV.
Yeah. We have logged many a mile together. Better Call Saul. We'll be back whenever that's back. But it's been a minute since Better Call Saul ended, and we've heard you here and there. We heard you, we did Jurassic Park. We had you for Mr. I forgot
I got eaten by a dinosaur.
Yeah. We had you eaten by a dinosaur on the Jurassic Park podcast. You were recently a guest on Post Show Recaps Theater in the patron feed, postshowrecaps.com/Patreon for that. But what's a show that we could do right now? And so I think at the very least, like a one-off, like we could find something that we could just like talk about. Holiday seems like a perfect time for that. Holiday seems like the exact right time to get together. And then I think like this specific thing we've like joked about for a while.
This is something that that has been sort of I wouldn't call it a podcast bucket list for me, but it's something that is near and dear to my heart for very personal reasons, and a TV show that I have found a lot of personal joy from. And that's ultimately just, it's like you said, it's not been a joke because I don't love the show. I love the show. It's been a joke because it's quite an undertaking. There's a ton of episodes of this show, and it hasn't necessarily fit with some of the things we've done in the past because, you know, we podcast about shows as they're airing and we do post show recaps. That's what you and I have done the majority of as we've podcasted. And this is a show that's no longer on the air. And yet, it is a show that is on the air in one very specific place constantly, and that is in my mother's home.
Mm-hmm.
My mother's favorite show that we're going to talk about today. And I basically have an ongoing dialogue with her through text message, through the phone, about every single episode of this show constantly on a loop. She just watches it all and then picks back up and starts watching again from the beginning, and remembers things she forgot. It points out little details. As I'm watching, I'll send trivia questions to her. She will answer the trivia questions without fail. It's insane, the level of the depth of knowledge that she possesses about the minute detail, the minutia of this show. And the show we're talking about is already in the title of the episode, so you already know.
I'm holding the book right now. So yeah. I've got it. Bone, yeah, by Jeff Smith, comic book. Oh, no, I got the wrong Bone.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no, it's not. That's not it. It's Winter's Bone.
Winter's Bone.
Jennifer Lawrence.
And, no, we're talking Bones. Hart Hansen's Bones.
Yes.
Emily Deschanel's Bones. David Boreanaz's Bones. Fox's Bones. Not my wife.
We're doing this as a Christmas gift for my mother.
Yes. So this is what this is. So this is what we were talking about for a while. Cause like we've talked about the fact that Bones is like a big part of your relationship with your mom when you guys are talking TV. And I think, I don't remember exactly how it came up, But I think I said to you, like, well, let's just like record a podcast about Bones sometime. I've never seen it before. I'd watch an episode of Bones and we could just like make a podcast about Bones for your mom for the holidays.
Yeah.
And so we're doing that. And as an additional holiday gift, should you choose to receive it as such, we are releasing this podcast for people to listen to.
It's a gift. What do you mean, should you choose to receive
it? I don't know. If people are like, I didn't, a Bones podcast, that's not even on the list.
The best gifts are the ones you didn't ask for that weren't on the list, but that someone thoughtful saw and thought of you. And Josh, you said, we could just, you know, I'll send you the raw audio, we'll edit it, and I'll send it, you can send her the file. And I said, if we're going to record a Bones podcast, we got to give it to everybody, baby.
Give everyone. So everyone's getting Bones. Everyone's getting Bones.
Bones in your stocking.
We're putting Bones in your stocking. So happy holidays. Here's Bones podcast.
That once.
None of you expected it. I didn't expect it. Antonio didn't expect it. And then it came together very quickly. And we're like, all right, we're doing Bones. And we'll frame it around a specific episode. Antonio gave me an episode to watch. If you want to pause the podcast down and watch the episode because you've never seen Bones before, it's season 1, episode 9. The Man in the Fallout Shelter is the episode of Bones that I watched, but I expect that this will be a conversation that travels across the series of Bones. I've been spoiled on some stuff about Bones, maybe surprisingly enough. I know that there are like some actual spoilable elements of the show.
Absolutely, there are.
Yeah, and I've been spoiled. I've been spoiled on a few things. I think for the sake of the conversation, do we want to tread lightly on like full Bones terrain, or is the full extent of Bones traversable?
I would like to tread lightly for several reasons, but mainly I think Bones is a show that's worth watching. It is a forensic procedural show, which there are a lot of those types of shows. And if you're a fan of one, you're probably going to be a fan of more than one. So if you're a fan of CSI or the Law and Order type shows, you're probably going to like Bones. But Bones is a lot different in many respects. It's more character driven than some of those shows. There's a lot more continuity in the character stories, and the ongoing relationships between the characters are what really drives the thing. That, and there's a lot of humor in Bones in the best way. Like, it's a funny show in a way that so many of those shows are not. And it, I think, plays on that sort of gallows humor that a lot of people that work in these sort of horrible dealing with dead things jobs have. And I think that's a big focus of the show. So it's very funny, and it's very easy to fall in with the characters on these episodes that focus a lot on character continuity. And this is certainly where this episode occurs in the, like, just the overall scope of the series.
We're very early.
Very early. And this is the first time we're learning some of these details about these characters. And I would definitely recommend watching it if you have seen the show, or even if you haven't, because it, you don't really require much knowledge coming into the show, and it doesn't really spoil much about the course of the whole series. It is, as I said, a procedural show about a forensic anthropologist, Dr. Temperance Brennan. It's based on a series of books by Kathy Reichs, who is herself a forensic anthropologist. The books are based on her life experiences.
So it's not quite autobiographical.
Not quite, but it is, I think very close. I think a lot of the cases that she worked on, she's able to turn into grist for her fictional novels featuring Temperance Brennan. And I think there are some character traits, obviously, that the character of Temperance Brennan has that Kathy Reichs probably does not have. But it's funny because, of course, in the context of the series Bones, the character Bones is also a writer of these forensic anthropology mysteries. So there's a lot of meta connections between the real Kathy Reichs and the character of Temperance Brennan, aka Bones, on this show. And it definitely centers around her and her crime solving ability. She's a genius. She's always the smartest person in the room, often the strongest person in the room, and often the coldest person in the room. And that sort of mix is on display in a way that you've probably seen in other shows, but in a way that I think is really unique with what Emily Deschanel brings to the character. I mean, she really is a triple threat as far as a network star would go, in that she's able to really play the funny, she's able to play the smart, she's able to play the romantic interest really well. Like, she really covers all those bases. So it centers on her and the Jeffersonian legal medical lab at the Jeffersonian Institute in Washington, D.C., and her basically solving old crimes or new ones, but by looking at decomposed remains, by analyzing the bones, determining identity is often a huge part of these episodes. How can you identify somebody by what's in the bones, and then determining how they were probably killed. And then from there, maybe finding the person who did it. That's usually what happens in every case. She works very closely with the FBI and an FBI agent, Celie Booth, played by David Boreanaz, as you said. And she has a whole cadre of, or coterie, I should say, of just assistants, helpers, people that work in the lab, people that work on
most of the characters in the show work at the Jeffersonian as opposed to the FBI. Is that right?
That is correct. Yeah. Most of them are they work for the Jeffersonian or Dr. Brennan. Very few of them work for the FBI and Booth, but there definitely is some crossover, and they build out the roster of those characters as the series goes on. Dr. Brennan goes through a series of interns, and we see various interns in their different roles, and they all have a little something different that they bring to the table. So it's very entertaining when they start popping up in a more inconsistent basis. But certainly at the beginning of the show, we have a pretty set cast of the characters that we meet in this episode.
Yeah. Emily Deschanel, do you know who she's married to in real life?
I do know
she's
this.
Married to actor David Hornsby, aka Rickety Cricket from Always Sunny. And that little fun fact makes me so happy because I love Rickety Cricket. And so anyone who chooses to spend their life with Rickety Cricket must be pretty cool. Also that David Hornsby, aka Rickety Cricket, is cousins with Bruce Hornsby,
the jazzman,
the musician. He'll take he'll take you down to the Harbor Lights. Lay out on the stand on the shore. So a lot of that's a lot of like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon type stuff. And I believe that Hart Hansen, who is the creator of Bones. Did he have something? No, I thought he maybe had something to do with a Kevin Bacon show, but he doesn't. I was going to tie this back to Kevin Bacon, but I can't do it. I never watched Bones. And it's funny because this was a show that was on around the time that I was watching, you know, a fairly decent amount of like Fox dramas. You know, 24 is in its prime at this point in time. So the show premieres in 2005, Bones. And I think that 24 must be on its like fourth season at this point, I think is
that sounds
right.
About right. Yeah, I think that maybe sounds about right.
Fifth, maybe it's fifth. Somewhere in that range. Prison Break is just hopping. I loved me some Prison Break. So I would constantly see commercials for Bones. And they would always have, you know, all of, like the previews for every episode that would like show on Fox would, at least the running joke with me and a couple of my friends was that literally like, everything would seem very dramatic. And then the tension would be diffused by the preview amping up the comedy of, the character Temperance Brennan saying, "Hello, I'm a forensic anthropologist." And so like, my friends and I would often, like, anytime something would get awkward and, like, we'd be in a debate, to close a debate, we'd say, "Well, listen, I'm a forensic anthropologist," and that would tend to end everything. But that was, like, the extent of my Bones know-how.
Coolest guys in the room.
We were pretty awesome, I gotta be honest with you. But that was, like, the extent of my Bones knowledge, and I never watched it. This week was the very first time that I ever watched an episode of the show. And it was the episode that you picked out very rightly for the holidays. And frankly, even more timely, it's a quarantine episode in which the members of the Jeffersonian, as well as Booth, end up getting locked down because of the unleashing of potentially a deadly virus from one of the bodies that they're studying. And so they have to spend a couple of days on lockdown over the holidays, and emotions run high and sleepovers ensue. There's Bones and her friend Angela sleeping head to head, which felt very unrealistic to me. That would make me really nervous to like sleep in Spider-Man and Mary Jane position with anybody. There's a lot that goes on, and this is but one of 246 episodes of Bones and 12 seasons of Bones. How much of that have you seen?
I've seen it all. I've seen it all the way through at least once. I have seen at least half of it twice. I'm slowly rewatching it, and I'm on season five. And I've seen so many of the episodes just with my mom randomly watching as I would go to her house and she'd have an episode or two on, or we'd watch an episode or two. So yeah. I've probably seen the majority of the series at least twice.
And what is it about the show that clicks with you two?
Oh my gosh. It's hard to say. So my mom has always been super into science and the scientific aspects of everything. She also likes the procedural type shows. She's a big Criminal Minds fan, I know, and she likes other shows like that. But for some reason with Bones, I really do think it's the character resonance. It's the mix of the forensic anthropology, and it is the characters that really jump off the page for her. She's really into the forensic anthropology angle of it, though. I mean, like, for example, one of the things that she wanted for Christmas for a very long time that my brother Dominic eventually purchased for her was like this artist's book of bodies at the body farm, I believe in Oak Ridge, Tennessee.
Oh, wow.
Where they, if you donate your body to science, one of the places that it can end up, I think, I don't know how donating your body to science works at all. Is there like a central repository of these things that then
rolls
them out, or?
We did recently receive notice that Emily's grandmother, who donated her body to science and was like, they're not going to want me, I'm old. And everyone kept going, Lisi, they're going to take you. Yeah. She's like, no, they won't. And they totally did. We did receive notice recently that Lisi her tour of service has ended. No. But I don't really know what that means. Rest her soul. But we all have gallows humor in our side of the family. So, but I'm not sure. Either myself.
Is that Lisi Linares?
No, it's not. It's okay, definitely just, not.
All right. I don't know how that works. I don't know. I mean, I know that I'm not comfortable with it at all. It upsets me. I find it very upsetting, yeah. But I'm glad that people do it. One of the ways that they do it, and one of the things that's studied is, I believe in the Oak Ridge, Tennessee area, which is in like, I guess I would call it like Metro Knoxville, between Knoxville and Nashville. There is a farm, I think, where they legitimately like leave bodies out to decompose or have them decomposing in various circumstances so that they can study what that looks like for people of various weights or races or ages or medical conditions or whatever it is. So that if they were to find remains, they could compare them to the control that they had prepared at the body farm. This is all a long way of me saying at some point an artist went to that body farm and had permission to take photographs of the bodies in an artistic manner, made a book of them. My mom wanted that for Christmas for a very long time. And she received it eventually. My mom is also very into the Temperance Brennan, Kathy Reich's Bones books. She also really loves the Preston and Child, anthropologic sort of horror. So that is just something I think that really resonated with her. And of course, initially what really resonated with me is that she loved it so much. I mean, anything, you know, I'm at a point in my life, I lost my dad a long time ago. Lost my grandparents, people that are older than me in my life mean a lot to me, and they have a perspective, they've seen things, they've been through the world in ways that I would never get to experience, and that frankly, if I don't really mine it, it will be gone and lost to me forever. And I'm acutely aware of that, in much the same way that Temperance Brennan, on this episode we find out that her motivation has a lot to do with what happened with her and her parents. It's just important to me to have something like this that I can talk to my mom about, and that, you know, that she enjoys it means the world to me. So that certainly resonated with me initially, but then of course as I started to watch it, I was like, you know what, this show's pretty funny. Like, oh, you know, like,
it's funny.
This show's pretty good. Like, there are some really good episodes of this show that are like really quality, strong episodes of television. The performances are good, the writing is really good, and it's hard when you make a network TV show like this and you have to churn out 23 episodes a season, and you're talking about the turnaround time and production on things like that. Most of these scripts are getting like one or two drafts and that's it, right? And then they're getting filmed and that's that, and you have to really try to marshal all that together, put out at 23 episodes. This is Fox produced it, I believe. It's their longest running 1 hour network fictional show. Like that, it had, like you said, the 12 seasons. One of them was writer strike shortened, and I think the final was a shorter season, but It is a really long running show. When you do that many episodes, you're going to burn through some ridiculous plot twists. There's just no avoiding it. You're going to do things where it's like, wait a minute, four seasons ago, this character felt this certain type of way, and now they're just doing this thing. So it has those elements to it, right. But it's a funny show. It's an enjoyable show. And like I said, I really think at times, like, a very emotionally resonant show. And this episode is a great example of that to me.
Yeah. So this episode, like you said, I mean, it sounds like it's introducing some of the elements that felt to me like, stuff that would be like pretty foundational to the characters. Like, there's a moment where, so Booth and Bones is obviously like the will they won't, the, core dynamic of the show. Right. They're relatively new to each other's lives. They're learning about each other for the first time. They probably, butt heads to a certain degree, right? Like, I think that their ways of going about things are probably pretty different. That he probably looks at her like she's kind of an alien, and she probably looks at him like he's like a wild card. I don't know if I'm
close. Yeah.
And he is revealing in this episode, like, he's really bummed out about the quarantine stuff because he has a kid and she didn't know that. And she has no idea about that. And we also, I believe that, viewers learn for the first time, like, that Bones herself is her parents disappeared when she was really young.
Chekhov's missing parents.
So like, clearly that's, I got to imagine, a huge plot element for the show, if not long term, then at least at certain points.
You got to go there at some point for sure.
And it's her whole engine for why she's doing what she's doing. So the episode that you selected is not only timely because it's about the holidays, it's not only timely because it's about quarantine. It's also, it seems like a fairly like lore significant episode of the show. Like, if you were to do like what I'm doing on community building, which for people who don't know is like speed watching through Community and just like watching like a highlight reel, this feels like maybe an episode that you would include in a list like that. But I don't know, without having seen a single other episode of Bones, I couldn't tell you for sure, obviously.
I definitely think that it should be included for all the reasons that you said, and just because it is, it's a unique episode in terms of the initial run of the show, in the way that you described, in that it focuses on these dynamics in such a key way, and characters sort of evolve. Like, there are these markers along the way that are moved by this episode. And you pointed out the dynamic between Bones and Booth. That is certainly a key dynamic of the show. You can kind of get a sense of it here, that Bones looks at Booth, as you said, a wild card. I would say she calls him superstitious because he has faith, because he's a believer. Mm. He's a Christian and believes in God. And this is a guiding principle for him. He was a sniper. He was in the military. He clearly took a lot of lives and has seen a lot of bad things.
It's a prequel to Navy SEALs, the show that David Boreanaz is on.
I firmly believe, by the way, that is the only thing standing between us and having more Bones on TV. I strongly believe that Bones, we will see more episodes of Bones at some point, whether it's in just a short spike, maybe a 6-episode thing, or even a movie. We're going to see more Bones at some point. I don't think, there was a real contentious lawsuit near the end of the run of Bones that kept making the show at the time, but the sorting out of that lawsuit that had to do with profits from streaming, among other things, led to a massive, massive verdict, and then I think is still being unwound. When that's all said and done, as long as SEAL Team's not on the air, I think we will see more Bones. But their dynamic is definitely key, like you said. What he's bringing to the table in terms of his guilt over the actions that he's taken in his life, and his animus for solving crimes, because he wants to do good in the world, it matches Bones' animus in a different way. Like you said, because she was left behind, because her parents disappeared, she doesn't want anybody, any of these victims, to be left behind. She doesn't want these mysteries to be out there when she can bring conclusions to them. And Angela does a really good job of being her conscience in this episode and speaking into the air what I think we as viewers would have come to recognize by that point, that this is a good reason for Temperance Brennan to do what she does, help these people get closure on their stories, the closure that she never got. So we see a lot of that in this episode, in the micro, right? That's the arc of the episode, with the man, the titular man in the fallout shelter, careful Lionel, and everything that he was up to, and actually getting to put a bow on that, a holiday bow on that, for the people that were left behind when he was murdered. This is a really good example of how these episodes typically work. Obviously, when you, like I said, when you do 200 plus episodes, the third act can be very similar. It often involves them finding the perpetrator and the perpetrator saying, it was just an accident. I didn't really mean to do it. Then we get our confession and it's wrapped. Those are always fun to see.
Well, on a structure level, can you talk about that a bit, like through the lens of this episode? Because like this feels like a more internal episode. It is like more character driven, character based drama. You know, no wonder like young Wiggler wasn't feeling it, because like he would want to go on an action adventure chase with Jack Bauer. This does not feel like that show. I could be totally wrong, so please let me know if I am. But like structurally, is there a typical episode of Bones, or is it does it change it up with some frequency?
My mom is going to kill me if I tell this story.
All right, curb yourself. Don't do it.
I don't know. No, they're just the people, the creators of the theme song of Bones, are the band or the DJ. I don't even know, called the Crystal Method, right? And the Crystal Method shows up, the name Crystal Method shows up in the credits. But as you get on to like season 8, 9 and into the real depths of Bones, you do become very familiar with the formula, right? With the structure of an episode and with the way that individual episodes were written. And my mom took to referring to that as the Crystal Method. And suggesting that is a reference to how these episodes were written, using the Crystal Method as they got longer into the series.
That's amazing.
That is not the Crystal Method. But yes, there are a typical episode of Bones. You're typically getting bones or remains right at the beginning. Oftentimes, you do have the Law and Order-esque finding of the cadaver, if you will, where you've just got
Completely different characters.
John Mulaney would tee off on it, right? Yeah, like, what are we doing here? We're talking in a parking garage late at night. We're about to find a body. You have those cold opens. There are at least three Bones Christmas episodes that I considered for this, and one of them I believe is called Santa in the Slush, and it starts
with find Santa's body.
They find a dead Santa, a dead Santa Claus, and the victim's name was actually Kris Kringle. There's a lot of fun to be had with that. But the people that find them are
destiny, right? If you're born Kris Kringle, I think you don't really you have two choices.
Yes.
One is to change your name.
I think adult films would be a choice, so that would be three. But yeah,
well, I mean, I guess that's part and parcel with, like, I think option two is to become Santa Claus, and then a lot of different options spider out from there.
That's true. Yeah. No Santa spiders, please.
No.
There's a lump of coal in my stocking for sure. But yeah, oftentimes we'll have someone discovering the body, but just as often we'll have Booth and Bones showing up at a crime scene where Booth has been called in one way or the other, and he's like, I've got just the person for you. And he calls in Temperance Brennan, and then they're dealing on site with the crime scene. And you'll typically have Jack Hodgins there, TJ Thune, who is the curly haired guy with the twinkle, TJ Thine, sorry, with the twinkle in his eye.
Yeah.
That shows up. He is a brilliant, brilliant man.
He was the one who was, drinking spiked eggnog, and he got everyone infected. So
he's a bit of a scumbag in this episode.
COVID-19 is this dude's fault, huh?
Yeah,
like,
hero here.
You know, don't drink the eggnog while you're working. It's like, put a mask on, man. Exactly. Like, don't do this.
He's like, not only does he do that, but he's trying to spike the punch for everybody, which is
not great.
Not cool either. Yeah.
Not great. Are they still like working out the character right now and trying to strike the balance between this guy is like too over the line or whatever?
I think so. His number one character note for the first couple seasons at a minimum is that he is a paranoid conspiracy theorist who talks about the New World Order and government structures. You see that
Illuminati.
You see it come up a little bit in this episode when Illuminati or Knight. That's exactly when it comes up. No, when he is when he's talking basically about when they're all basically saying who in this room otherwise believes in religion. And he says, I think religion is this, you know, political conspiracy used to control the masses. But also, you know, I hope God loves me, you know, like he is this paranoid conspiracy theorist who also happens to work for a government institution. I don't know if they got him right, but he'll typically show up to a crime scene. I got him right at this moment. I love Hodgins as a character throughout, but in this moment, moment. Yeah, he typically shows up at a crime scene and uses the insect evidence to determine how long the body's been there, because he can look at certain types of eggs or certain seasonal insects, or he'll use insect evidence as an entomologist to make that determination. And that's what his role typically is. And you've got other characters playing their parts. You've got administrators from the Jeffersonian. You've got Angela, as you said, who typically works on the computer side of things. She's also an artist, so she does reconstructions of skulls.
And she's also an elf.
She's also an elf. She's also a free spirit and also the daughter of Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top.
And that is such a, it's such an odd note that this is revealed in this episode, right?
Yeah, it's the first time we ever knew anything about it, but we don't have any more. It's so odd. Go ahead.
Like Billy Gibbons.
Yes.
Who is a member of ZZ Top, which I only really know by name because I'm not a big music buff. So I don't know how, like, the degree to which Billy Gibbons is famous, but I looked very him famous, up. I would say, yeah. And so he's like, I mean, he's like, he looks like he must be iconic.
Yeah.
And he plays himself.
He plays sort of a version of himself.
Of the main characters on the show is his daughter, and he shows up a few times apparently, because like it's not just a one-off. I looked, he's like in like, of the 246 episodes, he's in like 8 or 9.
Yeah, he shows up. He has some fun.
There's a lot of ZZ Top cameoing.
He's great. This is really funny because I want to
crack me up. I was watching. I was like, "What am I watching? Bones? What a secret! What a secret you've been holding on to."
I want to give a shout out to a website from 2010, TV Tango, who had an interview with Hart Hansen, who talked about the genesis of this idea to have Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top as Angela's father, and it basically is like they wanted Angela to sort of, her character is a free spirit. Like I said, they thought it would be fun to have her be the daughter of a rock star, and Hart Hansen selfishly said, like, who can I meet? I can meet and that I can serve my own goals with here. But the key thing here is, Josh, and we could probably have a little fun with this, he said he had a list of about 5 names that you would recognize without naming them. Like, he didn't want to name them as, hey, my dad is Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top, which is never uttered on this show. And theoretically, he's playing a version of that, but not necessarily that. So I want to know who are the other 4, where if they walked into that room and you'd be like, I recognize that guy. Because with the beard, you're like, I've seen ZZ Top before.
Slash.
Slash with the hair. That's got to be one of them, right?
Lee.
Flea without the hair, that's got to be one of them, right?
Right?
Speaking of Bones in the Stocking, I said that earlier.
Is there a list? Is the list
available?
He did
not release the list. He has not released the list.
Maybe okay, we so we have to, we're making it up.
Confirm or deny some of these.
Slash feels like...
Slash is that's a great shout. Stevie Wonder would be good.
Stevie Wonder would be good. Too famous, right? I mean, not that Slash isn't too famous, but there's like some sort of, something of like a strong silent quality that I think fits.
And I think fits with Billy Gibbons as well.
Right.
And Angela, her name is Angela Montenegro ostensibly, but I won't spoil it. I'll just say that's not technically her name.
And her name is Angela Gibbons.
Billy Gibbons himself, I think he goes by the name Sarge occasionally on this show. I think Sarge has some very interesting thoughts on naming of children. Visions sort of just come to him. So Angela Montenegro's name is a very funny on the show.
That's really
so
cool.
I don't know who the others would have been. I think Slash is a really good shout. And I bet you that was on the list. Hart Hansen himself, Canadian, noted Canadian, Hart Hansen. So maybe we've got some Canadian, maybe somebody from Rush, but I don't think like a Neil Peart is that.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm trying to think of like, as somebody who's like a layman, who would I recognize? And I feel like I'd recognize Flea.
Yeah.
And I'd recognize Slash. But I don't know who else would be at that.
Are there any musicians maybe that have like more than one name that you would recognize?
No, you have to just.
You would recognize Prince, though. So if it was Prince, that would be right on there.
Too famous.
What do you mean too famous? Too famous to be on the show or too famous
to be on the show? And then I think probably too famous for the gag.
Maybe too famous for the gag, yeah.
I don't know.
Because, I mean, if Prince shows up and the other characters see Prince,
they're like, oh, shit, Prince.
They don't solve the murder.
Yeah, like, it's the over. Murder, they quit their jobs and they move to, you know.
Paisley Park, right.
Yeah, to Princeton.
To Minnesota, yeah.
To Princeton. Like,
suburban Minneapolis.
So that didn't happen, obviously. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking about a show that made it 12 seasons.
Yeah, it would have ended after
episode. It would have ended after episode 3 or episode 9 of season 1.
Her name wouldn't be Angela either. It would just be a symbol.
I liked her a lot. I thought that she was fun. I thought she was a good character. She was one of my favorites. There's also Zach. Zach is Jack's... seems like Jack's closest colleague. Seems like a little bit bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, a little wet behind the ears, Zach, right? He seems like kind of the youngling of the crew.
Sort of a prodigy in that respect. Like probably the smartest person in the room, except for maybe Temperance Brennan, but certainly on that level, like a genius. And smart to the point, like it makes him sort of unrelatable sometimes to the other characters. Booth has a very touch-and-go relationship with all the scientists. He refers to them squints, meaning people who squint at things, evidence and things that they're looking at the crime scene. And he has a very...
I don't know that I like that at all.
Booth is kind of a jerk. I mean, there's no two ways about it. He has a heart of gold, and he has his number one character trait, I would say, is his loyalty and his heart. Yeah, he really should. It's probably worth more than a copper penny, right? But
definitely more than 100K.
He definitely is rough around the edges. And he's rough around the edges for a lot of reasons. We come to learn many of them throughout the course of the series, from his childhood to, as I said, some of the work he did previously, before he was in the FBI. And of course, some of the show is about him softening some of the rough edges around himself, and Temperance Brennan sort of rounding out, some of the edges that she has. And the reason, the ways that they complement each other in that regard, it's much more than I would say than a will they or won't they. It's a little bit of that Moonlighting for sure. It's a little bit of that X-Files in terms of she's very evidence-based and very empirical. And because he does have the heart that he has, he's very faith-based and he's very gut-based and he's very reactionary. So there is that dichotomy, and that same dichotomy that's presented, Josh, man of science, man of faith, that's presented in a lot of our disciplines that we study, whether it's empiricism or human, you know, the way that people study things from a human perspective. Like, there are all these different things that play out in their relationship. So he is no fan of Zach. It's a great moment in this episode when they sort of bond a little bit and give Zach that really rough handshake. And it shows that, you know what, these guys, these people that you sort of look on derisively, they can be things for you. They can make a robot for your son. Like, they can understand why that's cool, and they can make you the cool dad. So there are these relationships that build between them over time, that I think we're seeing nascently here. And Zach certainly plays that role. Fun fact, Eric Milligan, the actor who plays Zach Addy, I had for my mother's birthday him record a cameo.
Hey, he's on Cameo.
Yeah, he's on Cameo. And he's not been on Cameo very long. I think Bones still does very well at fan events, and that the people that are participating in these things are beloved in the way that, you know, I think for shows that fit into genres, the actors often end up that way. And so I believe he does some of that work there. And I'm glad that he's on Cameo for that reason, because I know there are fans of his character in the show that probably are so happy to have the opportunity to get a message from him. I search Cameo Bones constantly. And like I said, he just showed up later this past summer. So it was a no-brainer for sure.
And who else is on there? Anyone worth hyping?
There's another character who plays Agent Aubrey, from one of the later seasons. He's on there. I have yet to dip into that well for my mom's Cameo rewards, but perhaps later. Perhaps later. I'm hoping we'll get somebody else from the cast. TJ Thine would be great, and that would be awesome.
How long does it take until we get to see Sweets, John Francis Daly?
He shows up relatively quickly. I think he's in there. I know he's in there by, I think, season 3. He may be even there, in there even sooner. But I think season 3 is maybe where he makes his way onto the show. There are other main cast people that come and go over the course of the run. We have not talked about, from the course of this episode, the administrator, Dr. Goodman. He's only on the first season.
Yeah, don't get too used to him.
He really just sort of goes on sabbatical and doesn't return.
Look at the cast list. I was like, oh yeah, he's here for like a minute and then he's gone.
I know not of the reasoning behind that choice. The replacement for his role remains in the show for the rest of the run, and she's a much beloved character as well. So there are a lot of characters. I mean, most of the characters that we saw in this episode make it through the run of Bones, but not all of them. And that's all I'll say about that. I don't want to spoil anything. I don't want to spoil anything, obviously.
I know some stuff.
How dare you? Just spoil it yourself.
Congratulations. Cast. Well, I have
I've made before.
Even long before, you know, getting into what I do for work, like I, you know, used to just like eat up anything on like TV news websites and stuff like that. So even like shows that I haven't watched before, I feel like there are some that I just had like awareness because of like whether it was like Mike Lossiello or Kristen Dos Santos or whoever who is like covering like a show like Bones in an interview and like a headline of like shocker, and I'd be like, oh, I'll see, I'll never watch the show, so like there are some things I know, and now I'm watching an episode, I'm like, oh, but I like this now, but now I know what happens to this person.
Yeah, and we shouldn't say anymore, but I made that mistake myself with IMDb a lot of time, where I've never watched a show and I'll want to go there to see where I maybe know one of the actors from, like, where do I recognize so-and-so from? And I'll pull up the main IMDb page and I'll say, wait, why is so-and-so only in 120 episodes? Like, why are they only credited for
whoever cracks this idea of like the spoiler-free IMDb is going to be a very wealthy individual.
There should just be a way that you can like the way it, I don't know, it's probably too complicated. Amazon owns IMDb, so the person is already very wealthy.
I understand. And whoever cracks it will be bought, and then the wealthiest person shall become wealthier.
Let's crack it.
That'd be great. Any Silicon Valley heads out there that want to talk to Antonio and I? Because we have lots of ideas.
We have tons of them. And most of them don't involve nerds not getting spoiled on cast notes. But
some of them do.
Some of them do. And those are the best ones. Those are the best ones that we have.
Yeah.
I've done that, though. And I think one of the ways some sites do it, like you could log in and set up a profile. And like if you wanted to do, let's say, A Song of Ice and Fire, Game of Thrones book series, right? You can select what books you've read through and then only see posts that are pertinent to the things that you've read. I know that some of the Game of Thrones websites on the internet have in the past done that. Whether or not that's still the case, I don't know. But there are things that are out there that are Bones plot points that could easily be spoiled for you. So tread lightly is all I will say. Bones, I think, knows its place in the pop culture realm. Did you like there are several pop cultural references here right at the beginning of the episode? Hodgins points out that Zach watches Firefly and Booth calls the Christmas party a Star Wars convention.
Yeah, I was like, hey.
Yeah, he doesn't like
that. I was watching it on a day that Star Wars was having a banner day. And I was like, hey, relax, man. Yeah, I'm happy to be part of the Star Wars convention. Be cool, yeah. Dude.
Well, this is sort of like, I mean, in Bones, I think, is a good example of this, right? Where there was a time, I don't know if you can believe this, Josh, but there was a time in America where we celebrated being smart and being intelligent. That was a thing that we as a society and as a culture value. Couldn't be me. Nope, not me.
That never happened. Yeah. I don't know it.
And Bones, I think, is a great example of this. We're celebrating her intelligence and the character's intelligence, and it is their intelligence that makes them so fantastic and so good at what they do and so worth watching. Booth, obviously, he bristles at that a little bit, and I think he represents in some ways that sort of outdated mentality. Like, Booth, the world is passing you by, brother. There's a really funny gag in
Star Wars. It's cool again, man.
It's not only cool again, it's cooler than it ever has been.
Yeah.
Right? And there's the movie 21 Jump Street, there's a hilarious gag to me where spoiler alert, slight spoiler for the movie. And I am just going to give it a second. It's not really spoiling anything, but the undercover task that they're assigned is to go back to high school.
Right.
And it's Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum. And Channing Tatum was obviously the king of high school when he was there. And Jonah Hill was obviously a heavy set nerd. And when they go back to high school, Channing Tatum acts exactly like he did before and is outcast. And Jonah Hill acts exactly like he did before and is popular. And Channing Tatum cannot process how society has changed such that the meathead jock is no longer the center of attention. And I think that's where Booth is at. He's a little stuck in that mentality. And it's, of course, he's an FBI guy, right? So like coming from that perspective, of course, he's going to be a little rougher around the edges when it comes to treating people a certain type of way.
It's implied in the name, Antonio. He's Booth. He's stuck in a constricting, restrictive
case of emotion.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, he really is. You're right. And he's sealed in there. He's sealed in there. So, yeah. But like I said, this is not an anti-Booth Bones Christmas gift from my mom podcast. This is to
Who's
say.
Who's your mom's favorite character?
Oh, gosh.
Is that too hard?
She really loves one of the interns named Vincent Nigel Murray.
that's a great name.
Mr. Nigel Murray. Vincent Nigel Murray is, I don't know offhand the actor's name who plays him, but he is British. And he is basically a walking factoid machine, the kind of guy that is born to play Jeopardy, which maybe he does at some point in the series. But he is constantly throwing in little anecdotes or little fun facts into the scientific examinations, which drives his coworkers nuts. But he is a very entertaining character. My mom loves Mr. Nigel Murray. I don't know. I'd say probably she likes some other characters too, but again, I don't want to get too much into spoilers. So
yeah. How do you not pick Bones though?
Definitely Bones is near the top of the list. Yeah. I would say. You know, the thing about the character of Bones, and I'm just describing Booth as being, yeah, he's a little rough around the edges. He comes with that perspective where he doesn't view science in the same way that everyone else does. He's the outsider. He's kind of the dick about it. And I think the show presents it that way, but it presents him as wanting to learn, wanting to get better and evolving over time. Bones is the opposite in that she's very cold. She's very scientific. As we saw, she has reasons to be both of those things. Like, she wants evidence. She wants these things to make sense because the things that have happened to her in her life that haven't made sense and where the loop was not closed and where letting people in hurt her. So I think we see the evolution of that character as well, where she warms up to people. She's slightly on the spectrum, I would say, as well. She's often saying very inappropriate things, and all the characters around her are like, don't say that. Like, what are you doing saying that? Like, how, I can't believe you wouldn't understand that you cannot just be cold and scientific to this person. You have to have a little bit of a bedside manner here. And that's something that Bones completely lacks. So there's a lot to play with in terms of these characters, and there's a lot of real estate for them to play in. So there's a lot of that goes on throughout the course of the series. And obviously we fill in the blanks on all these people, as long as they're on the show. So we have a lot more character clarity on several of these characters, and not every Bones episode is like this. It's like the X-Files in that way, where some of the episodes are just going to be a mystery of the week. And we're going to take those character conventions and the character traits that we know about, and we're going to watch them play out in a different kind of mystery every time. But a lot of the time we're getting lore episodes.
I was going to ask what the balance was on that. Is it like, I look at Fringe as sort of one of the best examples of having what they called the mythalones, where episodes would be like Monster of the Week, but it was also advancing the overall lore, like in tandem. How often does Bones, what's Bones' balance with having an episode that's about like the cadaver of the week versus like, this is what happened to Temperance Brennan's parents and we're pushing forward on that mystery, or whatever the larger mythos is?
Over the course of the series, I'd say it's probably about 70-30, 70 in terms of the procedural mystery of the week and 30 in terms of advancing larger.
And I mean, in that way, especially as people are like trapped at home and like people who have jobs where they can like binge stuff while they work. And, you know, that sounds like a dream, you know, that this sounds like a show where this can be like there are elements of this show where it could be like a vibe show. To an extent, like a hangout show with characters that you really like being professionals, being exceptional in their fields and, being like reliable characters to spend, you know, however long a day with.
Yes. And I should say a lot of credit should go to Hart Hansen on this level. Hart Hansen, I know, had previously worked on the show Judging Amy, and sort of came to Hollywood, I believe, to try to do more than, like I said, he is Canadian, to try to do more than just work on Canadian TV shows or have the success that he'd had in Canada, because obviously you can work just phenomenally well in Canada. The best show of the last couple of years in terms of the shows that have popped into the zeitgeist, Schitt's Creek, like very Canadian as a show. And we love, Josh, Battlestar Galactica, which is a show that was Canadian in everything except for maybe just some of the actors, because it was where it was shot, it was where it was made. So Hart Hansen, I know, had a successful career in Canada as a TV writer and running shows. And then came to LA to sort of make it big in Hollywood, not to make it big as a person who could run Hollywood shows in Canada, but a person who could run them in Hollywood. And I think as a result has a different perspective on this than somebody who's just there to crank out TV procedural shows. I don't think Hart Hansen wanted to do a TV procedural show. I think he had an overall development deal with Fox. And they said, hey, meet with this guy who has the documentary rights to the Temperance Brennan books, to the Kathy Reich's story. And he's like, I don't want to do a procedural. And they're like, that's exactly why we want you to meet with the guy, because we don't want it to be a typical procedural. We want it to be a show that focuses on character. We want it to be a show that has what you have. Hart Hansen's a very funny guy. And sort of, I think in the Elmore Leonard kind of vein in terms of making sort of crime oriented things, that have the comic element that's part of it. I think that that's Hart Hansen wrote a book a couple years ago that I bought my mom, as soon as it came out, and I read it and I loved it. I mean, it's very much in that vein. So I think that he gets, should get a lot of credit for the tone of this show and the way it plays out. And I think, as I said, I've watched all these shows. I've watched every Law and Order there is for the first 20 seasons. I mean, I've watched a ton of these other shows and I know how they play out. And Bones does not, it's the way that it's different is the reason people loved it. And it's the reason that it went on for so long. And it does come down to the characters at the heart of the thing and how they grow and the things we learn about them and the way their lives change throughout the course of the series and the way they change each other and the way they're changed by their work and the things that happen.
It's not static in that way.
It's not static the way that most of these procedural type shows usually.
And like, don't get me wrong. Love Stabler. Love Benson.
Of course.
You know, I was who didn't love Munch when he was on? Dan Florek.
Florek, he went to Homicide.
Ice-T. Right?
Did you trade him to Homicide?
No, I think he just left. I think he's done. I don't know. I don't know what he's up to.
He ended up on Homicide as sort of like a trade. I don't remember. No, he ended up on Law and Order Criminal Intent.
He was on SVU for a long time.
Munch, he was on SVU and then he ended up on Criminal Intent.
Oh, you're talking Munch. You're talking Munch.
Munch ended up on Homicide. Richard Belzer. Is that right?
I think Munch is, I think he's retired though. I think he's done. I think he's done, but I'm sure he'll pop up as Munch again. So.
At any rate, who doesn't?
Those are like fairly static characters.
Yes.
They're lovable. They're reliable, but they're static. They don't really change all that much. There are SVU stands listening to this right now being like, how dare you? Olivia's captain now. She's the new Cregan, you idiot.
The thing with both of those shows and any show like this where death or serious, like horrible, grievous bodily harm kind of things that are happening, the toll that it takes on these characters. I mean, after a certain point, there has to be a breaking point with what happens. You can't just see all of these crimes, all of these horrible things happen to people and have it not affect you. And I will say on the Stabler front, I do think that there is a lot of that, right, in SVU. Like, it necessarily went there because of what happens with him on the show. So I do think that there are some elements of that in other shows. I don't want to talk them down. I only want to say that what differentiates Bones is the humor. It is the characters. It is these kind of episodes that really focus centrally on that, that sort of has like that element of moonlighting or has the element of, you know, these characters with their ongoing relationships forming or blossoming or not forming or blossoming or taking different aspects on. Like, Bones also has a lot of fun. They have alternate reality type episodes.
Oh, fun. That's cool.
They have flashbacks. They have other things that I think when you do this many episodes, they don't really have a purely musical episode, I think, but that's the sort of thing where when you do this many episodes of TV, you're going to have a lot of fun. There's a really fun one. I think it's the 200th and the 10th in the 10th season, the 200th episode that is a Hitchcock tribute. That is sort of just doesn't occur in the continuity.
Well, that is right in your strike zone. Right in
my wheelhouse, absolutely. Yeah. So there are a lot of things like that that we see. There's also, at some point, I think season 11, there's a crossover with Fox's Sleepy Hollow, the show that went three seasons.
Excuse me?
Yeah, which is weird.
So Bones and Sleepy Hollow exist in the same shared universe?
Same shared universe. After 11 seasons, Bones and Sleepy Hollow exist. I'm going to say that as a ruling, they don't exist in the same universe for this episode that we watched. But yeah, they do exist in the same universe.
Interesting.
Yeah, which means that there's supernatural, revolutionary era magics and Moloch playing a role in the same world that very forensic oriented
Edlis Osman.
Yeah. Temperance Brennan will play a role. So there is all of that. But
that's
fun. I just fun is the right word. If Bones is incredibly fun show. And I don't like to see it dismissed or poo-pooed. It means a lot to me.
No, and your endorsement of it means a lot to me, because, you know, anything that you rubber stamp, I'm always at least interested in checking out, even if I don't ultimately agree. And I had fun watching this. I totally did. I mean, 246 episodes is a daunting number of television.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. But I think, again, like, if I know it sounds counterintuitive when I say, like, if you've got a job where you can binge TV, like, I have to watch very specific things. You know, I have, like, my job is to specifically watch a few things. I can't really have something that I'm just, like, binging on in the background. It's not the way that I work. I wish that sounds fun. But I feel like people who have that, this to me strikes me as a show that's what I would do. This would be like, I would love to have a show that is like almost 250 episodes deep. That sounds like, I don't know. That sounds magical.
Yeah, I mean, that you would be able to do that and sort of be along for the ride. And I don't think you'd be let down generally. At some point, Hart Hansen does leave the show. He had sort of a spinoff deal where they backdoor piloted a show that ran for one season, 13 episodes on Fox. The Finder, that is correct. The Finder is introduced as a character in a Bones episode in season 6, I believe. Hart Hansen left to run that show. And then there was some sort of outside element that had an issue that stopped that show from going beyond one season. I don't know if it was a strike or what it was, but I my mom loves that show as well and wishes that it had been picked up for more, as I'm sure other people do. And so he leaves the show, and I think there's some continuity in terms of the staff. Stephen Nathan, I think, was involved from the beginning and takes over a lot of the roles that Hart Hansen was doing. And there's some big names, TV names that have been involved in this show over the years. You may or may not have seen Josh, who the story editor was credited on this episode. Did you see this?
No. Let me. Who is it?
You said no, and I said Ahaly. Noah Hawley.
Hey, no way.
Yeah, on this episode of Bones.
Fargo's very own. Noah Hawley.
And so I don't know how long he was on Bones. I think it was at least the first season, maybe the first couple of seasons. I believe, and I'm looking this up as I speak, but I believe that in the writer's room on Bones for at least one or two seasons was Lena Waithe.
Wow.
I think that's true. I think I did not make that up. Yeah. Bones, staff writer, 14 episodes, 2014, 2015, got the full written by credit for one episode. So there you go.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So a lot of talent that was attached to Bones.
And I mean, obviously a lot of
breeding ground for a lot of really creative people
up and down sort of the mix. I was impressed. I mean, this is the maybe fourth or fifth time I've seen this particular episode. I was particularly impressed with the camera work in this episode. I don't know if this was the typical DP, which is Court Fay, and the credits, as I've seen, I don't know if that was who was involved in some of the camera choices here, but this episode's mostly centered in the Jeffersonian lab. And I think visually, you mentioned the Spider-Man and Mary Jane sleeping side by side.
It was a good shot. It was like that. But for me, I was like, that's designed for the shot, because no real humans are sleeping this way.
There's also, I mean, look at the way that Hodgins and Zach are sleeping. They're sleeping cocoon, like sort of heads on the same plane, but feet facing in a different direction.
Yeah.
We had Angela sort of close up on her face to start the episode when she says, sweetie, and then we pull back. We have her tapping of her foot, the close-up on the eggnog mug, the dust that goes up, the bone dust that goes up. That's a very CSI effect.
Yeah.
The show doesn't typically trade in that. It does sometimes, but that's not the visual style of this show generally. But I think that's probably, if I had to guess, I'd say those were network notes. Like, hey, do one of those things they do where they zoom in on a thing and they show you at the scientific level what's going on. Like, we have the kind of signature Bones thing that happens is the Angela Tron, the hologram museum or museum machine that Angela is using to display the Christmas tree. She's often using that to render what she believes the victim would have looked like based on the bone structure of their face, other factors like their age and things like that. So there are visual elements of the show that stood out to me and that stand out over the course of the show. I also really like the shot where their feet were sort of dangling over the rails on the second level of the rail there and we sort of panned up. And then there was another time where we had like a low angle shot of Booth from below. And then like it tilted back to show you the whole lab below him. There's some fun stuff. I mean, when they spend that lab is a set, it's a studio lot, you know, warehouse set.
Oh yeah. And I can visualize that for sure.
Right. Of course. And so when you shoot that many episodes in that particular place, you're probably trying to come up with creative new ways to show it. And I think this episode, more so than others, really does show off how they can do that. And I was impressed with those elements of this episode, as opposed to other Bones episodes, which don't stand out one way or the other, which, by the way, earlier you mentioned, like, I don't know if it's got the Prison Break, Jack Bauer-esque elements. Occasionally they do. My mom's favorite Bones episode. I won't spoil what the episode is.
Booth Bauer.
But it is a very Booth Bauer kind of thing. And it is, one of the things that happened.
They really never have Jack Bauer show up on Bones.
They didn't. They could have, though.
They
certainly could have. There could have been an easy tie in there. But
he's used to dealing with lockdowns and quarantine. Season 3 is all about that. He could have showed up here for Christmas.
What's that guy's name? Gael.
Gael. You think he's the mole, and then he's like, hey. Yeah, he's like, hey, let me fix the thing, and then it blows up his face. I was like, and he's like, oh man, poor Gael. He had a hard day.
real bad.
Tough day.
Not good. Yeah, my mom's, I'll just say for Bones heads in the audience, for people who want to go back and refer to this, my mom's favorite episode is season 2's episode Aliens in a Spaceship. They're basically one of the things that they do after this season of Bones is there are ongoing stories, whether it's serial killers or people that they're trying to track, or sort of the anthropological history kind of element tracking down these things. We see them. And one of their most famous ones in the early seasons has to do with that episode. That is a very character specific, big for the continuity of the show episode, the aliens in a spaceship. And that is a beloved episode. Season 2, episode 9. That's that one.
Nice.
That's a very good one.
Cool. Very good one. Aliens in a Spaceship.
Yeah.
They don't just drop it on you. There's Noah Hawley involved in it.
How dare you?
How dare you? It's never too.
My face right now would be the GIF.
I know. Still too soon. It will never not be.
Too soon. Yeah, like Alien after Fargo. It will never not be too soon.
Yeah. All right, man. This is fun.
I got a question for you. So as far as the Michaela Conklin, TJ Thine, Eric Milligan, the people who play, you know, these, have you seen them in other projects? Have you seen other actors in anything?
No, TJ Thine looked familiar to me for some reason. I couldn't quite place him. He reminds me of someone who is in something else. It's not him that I'm remembering.
He's a guy who you've probably seen. He played, I know he had an episode of 24, he had an episode of CSI New York, in an episode of SVU, he had an episode of Angel, he had an episode of Grey's Anatomy, CSI. Like, he's been on, you name a show like this, he's probably been on it. Boston Legal, NCIS, all these shows. So he may have a memorable role from that. As far as like his big role, this is certainly it.
I think that's the case for a lot of these people. Yes.
I mean,
because the show was so long running, I would imagine.
Right.
But I know Michaela Conlon has other acting credits, obviously, for sure, and has been in some films and stuff, but was, you know, a series regular on Bones for as long as she was, and then has recurring roles on a few other shows. On Yellowstone, in fact, which I know is a show that its existence has been called into question by certain podcasting friends of ours.
Yes.
But she was on it, so, you know, if it doesn't exist, someone explain that to us. But no, I don't think that I recognize them much other than from like previews for Bones.
Yeah.
You know, effectively is like where I know their faces from.
I was curious about that because it is, now, like TJ Thine was just in a commercial. I can't remember if it was for like, it was, he was sitting at a bar and I think he might have ordered a pint glass of ranch to drink, I think is what he did. And it was a Valley Ranch commercial. And I think that's the most recent time I've seen him. But like I said, he'll pop up on his show from time to time. You're like, oh yeah, there's Hudgens, you know, like these actors do that. But I think this is their beloved, like this is the thing they did that they will always be best known for, unless you're John Francis Daly and you're like writing and directing like blockbuster Hollywood films now.
Right.
It's crazy.
Meteoric rise for from being, oh gosh, what was his name? Something weird in Freaks and Geeks.
He's had
a heck of a journey. John Francis Daly.
I was definitely curious about that though, because that's the thing for me as I've watched the show and become like very familiar with all the people who appeared on it. Like a lot of these people should be working more, like in my mind, like a lot of these people prove their mettle far and away on Bones. I think that happens sometimes, whether it's typecasting or like you become so associated with the show or you're familiar with the thing. I mean, there was the guy from way back when from MASH, I think the guy that played Radar said he couldn't get a role after that show because it was so typecast. I know others have the guy, what's the guy's name who played E.B. Farnham on Deadwood, who was on Newhart for all that time. After he was on Newhart, he said he couldn't get a role because everyone was like, oh, you're just the guy from Newhart. Like, we're not going to, in other words, we have nothing to use you for. Like, everybody's going to see you and think of Newhart. It's going to take them out of our show. So I do think actors struggle with that sometimes. I want nothing but the best for these people. I really have affinity for anybody involved in
William Sanderson
in front of or behind the camera. William Sanderson, E.B. Farnham. So I really like that about this show. I mean, obviously, David Boreanaz, you talk about a guy who has gone from strength to strength. I mean, he goes from Buffy to Angel to Bones to now another a successful network show. Like, that guy is crushing it as far as he's not wanting
TV to. Viagra.
Yeah. Bring him on your show. That he brings the bones to your show for sure. And but anyway, he's working like consistently. And I do believe major hurdle between the Bones reunion happening or not happening, because I'm surprised Emily Deschanel has not really worked more. I was trying to think, like, have you seen her in anything else?
No, that was so she's on or was on Animal Kingdom, which is another show that I know people love. But I have never seen before, but I know people love that show. And I don't know if she's on it or if she was on it. But I know that she at the very least was on it. But other than that, I think like, again, like this is another case where like she did Bones, you know, you just need the show sometimes and you hit it. And then like, you know, it's like Ellen Pompeo is on Grey's Anatomy.
Right.
You don't got time for other shit.
Right.
Well, Grey.
I hope for all the people that you know, worked on the show for such a long time. The show is on constantly. You put TNT or TBS on other channels. It's showing in syndication so constantly. And this is no lie. My mom would DVR every single showing of it, and there'd be hundreds of episodes on her DVR, and she'd be like, well, that way if I want an episode, it's on there. I said, they're all on Hulu. She's like, they're not all on Hulu, they jump around, it might leave Hulu. And I think she's right about that. She was sort of ahead of the curve on like, have a stored copy of the thing because it might disappear from where you want it. And the streaming rights of Bones were very much in contention as part of that lawsuit. So if you want to watch Bones, it's on Hulu now. I have no idea how long it will remain there. It is a Fox product, so they're not exactly bringing a great streaming service to the forefront. So maybe it'll remain on Hulu. And if you've got Hulu, you'll
Disney
be able
to... Disney owned, so I think, seems likely.
We'll have to figure out a way. I mean, they're talking about folding Hulu. Let's date this podcast. If anyone's listening to it in the future,
we're
talking about folding Hulu into Disney Plus in some way, or having Disney Plus be available in Hulu.
Hey, listener, has that happened yet? Let us know.
They're like, Disney Plus, what is that? The world has ended.
Tweet at AC Bizarro and at Round Howard with Disney Plus minus Hulu.
Someone in a fallout shelter in the future has
Disney minus Hulu
ridden a bicycle for 3 hours and charged up an iPod Touch. And this episode is in their app somehow there, and they're listening to it. They're like, Disney Plus. Whoa, those were the days.
Yeah. Dear Josh and Antonio, I know you'll never read this. I hope you're still alive.
Right. Somewhere.
Yeah.
Thing that fits another thing. Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, in that post-apocalyptic scenario, plenty of bones to go and watch at the
hopefully
very
that, your bike works well enough for them. Hopefully it works well enough.
Well, I want to give a shout out to your mother, Antonio, and wish her a happy holiday. And hopefully, you have enjoyed listening to your son rep your favorite show, and also want to let you know that I am very, very thankful for the existence of this young man.
Are you thanking my mom for having?
Yes. Yes, I am. Thank you for doing that and letting Antonio happen. We are all very thankful for that choice. Antonio has brought a lot of love and joy into people's lives with incredible podcasts over the years, and you've become one of my truly absolute best friends on the planet. And I would podcast with you about literally anything you wanted to podcast about.
Well, I really appreciate that, Josh. And I obviously share those sentiments about myself. about you. Yeah. I share those sentiments.
But leave my mom out of it is what I would ask as a favor to you, Antonio.
I can't say anything. I'm not going to say anything. I will just say that this was sort of your idea in that you, as I said earlier in the podcast, like you push this. It's not lost on me that this episode of Bones has a lot of the good holiday tropes in terms of like your reunited family or your chosen family, the holidays that you can't get home to, that you're stranded, that holidays are where you find them and how you find them and how you're able to celebrate them may not always be ideal. That is certainly not lost on me this particular year of all years. As we're releasing this on Christmas Day, I'm not even sure I'm going to see my mom on Christmas Day. She's had some health issues in the past, and nobody wants to expose her potentially. So it's very difficult to watch an episode like this and really associate yourself with these characters in quarantine who have to find ways not to trudge through the woods and cut down a tree, a 12-foot tall tree, and be around 40 people that love them, because that is a recipe for murder on a day like today. But maybe be with the people that you're keeping in close quarters, and that's it. And you find a way to tell the other people that you can't be with that you love them. And that's certainly what I wanted to do with this podcast, not just for my mom, but for everybody. For everybody out there that's listening, if you're listening now, certainly, you're a real stan, and we appreciate it. We appreciate that you stuck through either with Bones or with us talking about this episode, because it really does truly mean a lot to me that people care about this sort of thing, I have been in this position a lot during quarantine where I've really needed podcast content. The podcast that's gotten me through this year has been Podcast The Ride, which is about theme parks. And
it's a killer ride.
I'm not a theme park guy, but just the fact that this podcast was there, the way you said, they've got a ton of content built up. They have the right approach. It makes me happy, and it makes me think about things that aren't horrible that are going on in the world. And even though this episode of Bones focused on a thing where they said Santa Claus comes on and says, we don't want a pandemic. Well, sorry, Santa. You know, this is a thing where this episode hits different at a time like this, hits different at this time of year. I think this is the best Bones Christmas episode. As I said, there are others that sort of capture that same spirit of trying to make the best of the holiday or doing the best you can with what's around you. This is the one I think that does it in a way that is just such a deft touch. It has just the right hand of it. I really love the montage with all their loved ones coming to the door. It isn't really super overdone. Done in that moment. It's just the middle of the episode. It's there. It teaches us about these characters and their lives and what this means to them. And it really resonated with me this time through. So I just want to say thank you to you, Josh, and thank you for everything that you do at Post Show Recaps. And thank you to everybody who's participating with the podcast at Post Show Recaps. It is really valuable. I love it when a little secret shadow drop episode drops on a holiday like this. So it meant something to me to make sure this got up for Christmas for everybody, or for Hanukkah, which I know is over by this point. But just whatever holidays you're celebrating at this time of year, this is a gift from us for sure.
For sure. All right. Well, we got to figure out a way to come back soon. We're always working. We always have like 1,000 ideas that just like
Yeah, we have so many things we love.
I know.
Things that we would love, that we talk about off air, that, you know, whether it's a video game or whether it's an album or whether it's a movie or just a show that we burn through, like Ted Lasso, yeah, whatever it is, we probably, you know, we talk about like, maybe we could do that. Maybe we could do that. And you know, I pick this one, Josh, it's your turn next time.
All right. I'll think on something for the next Wiggler Mazzaro reunion special. I'm not going to strong arm you into the Justified rewatch.
let's think of one-offs.
I know. It's a lot. And I do not have time for it.
Justified
of the things that I would love to do that I have zero time for. A Justified rewatch is pretty high on that list.
Okay, pick one Justified. Is there a President's Day Justified episode? Is there a
we're gonna do? Episode? We'll have like one-offs time to holidays coming up.
Look, every month has some day, right?
Yeah, Valentine's sure.
Day, St. Patrick's Day. I'm going to Arbor Day.
Yeah, let me do something for the inauguration. I don't know, counter programming.
I mean, yeah. Listen, The West Wing got plenty of episodes.
That hey, I've never done West Wing. Yeah, never done West Wing.
Oh, like I said, it's your turn, Josh. So you pick something for the next time, and then we'll see what happens after that.
All right, we'll see what happens next. All right, hit up AC Mazzaro on the Twitter bots. Wish him a happy holiday. Happy holiday to you and yours, Antonio, and to you and yours out there in Post Show Recaps listener land. Lots of stuff happening here on the podcast. We'll be back very soon with all of that and more. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Merry Christmas, Mom.